you're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Indian Health Services has been in operation since 1955. Their mission is to provide adequate health care to Native Americans. We take a look at President Trump's pick for the new director and talk about the care the organization provides. Right now, research continues to show that blows to the head suffered while playing football and other contact sports can lead to CTE. That's chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a degenerative brain disease linked to depression, aggression, and an increased risk of suicide. Despite warnings from the medical community, many football players brush off the dangers of CTE. A new report from the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism talked to researchers as well as current and former Wisconsin football players to find out why that is. Luke Schetzel is a freelance journalist and contributor to the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. He's with us now in the studio. Luke, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, you talked to football players, locally accessible ones on the UW Badgers team. Mm-hmm. What kind of things did you hear about these risks that are all over the news?
I was actually, the first time I really dove into it was before their local media day that the team has in July, and it was only a couple days after a recent Harvard study came out showing that 99% of NFL players' brains they had looked at, and these brains had been donated, so a smaller sample size of about 112, 99% of them had CTE. And I was on the phone with my mom, actually, before I was going, so credit goes to her for the idea of the story, I guess. And she mentioned that I should talk to the players, ask them what their thoughts are on it. And originally I was like, players rarely even tell me really what they do in practice. It's going to be hard to crack that shell on this topic. But then after I hung up the phone, I thought, this is something that impacts them more than anyone else, so they should be talking about it. And that's what kind of spurred me to ask those questions.
And what did they say? You know, there's kind of two different things at play here, concussions mm-hmm. and what those consequences are and when players should sit out, but also subconcussive impacts, they call them, repeated blows to that might not be enough to cause mm-hmm. a concussion. Let's start with the concussion side. We always used to hear the phrase, got their bell rung. They felt a little mm-hmm. dizzy after a play. How did players talk about that?
So I wanted to get more of a feel. You know, I played football in high school. To my knowledge, never suffered a concussion while playing football in high school. So I wanted to get a feel of what it was actually like, a firsthand account of what it was like. So I would ask the players, have you ever suffered a concussion? What did it feel like when you first got up? What did you remember? What did you not remember, perhaps? And a lot of them said they hadn't suffered one since high school or since their freshman year when they first got here on campus. The seniors would normally say that. But then I was like, okay, maybe terminology change up. What's it feel like to get your bell rung? I know that, I played football. I know that happens, quote unquote. And then they would describe to me situations that just on the surface, you can't diagnose something through someone's just secondhand accounts. But they would describe symptoms of a concussion, which to me, my ears went up. And after talking to some athletic trainers, one at UW La Crosse, to kind of get an unbiased, out of the UW-Madison community account, he described if those players came to him and described those things on a sideline, that's something that would definitely they'd flag, go through the protocol, either rule in a concussion or rule out a concussion at that point.
What kind of symptoms were they describing?
Being dazed, dizzy. One of them said, it's kind of like, what just happened there, but then you snap out of it real quick, and if you can go, you can go and you can play.
So players are not thinking, I might have a concussion, I should go get the protocol, I should risk being pulled out for that protocol.
Right, yeah, no, all of them, in one instance, a receiver, A.J. Taylor, on the football team said he had never had a concussion ever, to his knowledge, and then described getting his bell rung plenty of times and describing to me the being dazed, not really knowing what happens for a second. To them, it's not a concussion, but when you look at the medical terminology that they use today, the term bell rung has been out of the literature for almost a decade, if not more. So it was concerning for medical experts when I would tell them that these players are describing the getting their bell rung, but that they didn't think it was a concussion.
Now, it seems like there are arguments among researchers over CTE, mm-hmm. its causes, how widespread it is. But it seems like what anybody I've talked to who studies this stuff says, if you have a concussion, you have to be held out until you recover. The worst thing is to get that second concussion while you're recovering from the first. And that's where the things you're talking about could get really worrisome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, concussion, from what I've learned from talking to these researchers, is that currently there's basically you're out 2 weeks. If you get a concussion, you're out, you know, that next week, you know, and until you are concussion free, or concussion symptom free, then you're held out. You're gradually brought back into practice throughout that next week. And if you're still symptom free by that next game time, then you can go. But according to Dr. Brooks, who's a part of the NCAA Care Consortium study, early indications are that there's still recovery going on in the brain after that 2 week period, even when you are symptom free. But there'd be no way to know that because you're symptom free. So they think possibly there might be a need to keep people out longer than just that standard until you're symptom free, and then gradually increase their workload again.
Talking to Luke Schetzel, he wrote about concussions, football, and CTE for the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism. He talked to a bunch of UW Badger football players, past and present, along with researchers and sports medicine experts. One former UW player who's taken this threat of CTE, turning to that now, very seriously, is Chris Borland, a UW player, went into the NFL, left the NFL early in his career, saying goodbye to literally millions of dollars. Here he is in a public service announcement about concussions he filmed last year.
My name is Chris Borland. I walked away from pro football and a $2.9 million contract with the San Francisco 49ers because I didn't want to develop CTE, or chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is caused by repeated brain injury.
So talk about the Chris Borland story and his decision to leave the NFL.
Yeah, he decided to leave the NFL after his rookie year, and it was after a rookie year. I mean, he was a star here in Madison, but kind of a NFL draft afterthought, but because of some injuries on the 49ers team that he got drafted to, worked his way into the starting spot really early. I mean, he was on pace. You know, he would have been a multi-million dollar contract player without a doubt, and walked away from it all because of his fear of the potential consequences of head injury and how the NFL kind of didn't take it serious at all.
And you also talked to the person who really put CTE on the map and has been sounding the alarm, Dr. Bennett Omalu. There's a movie made about him called Concussion, right? You talked to him. He said contact sports and these concussions and CTE are the top civil rights issue of our time. What did he mean by that?
From what he told me is that predominantly in his experience, his children go to a private school where in California where their football team has been scrapped. And he's noticed that a lot of private schools in the area, you know, so schools that people from higher socioeconomic backgrounds can attend, have scrapped their football teams, guided kids towards more non-contact sports, whereas these public schools where kids from lower socioeconomic backgrounds possibly are, you know, pushed to play football. So he believes there's a socioeconomic imbalance between kids that are accurately educated on the issue of concussion or protected from head impacts and those who are not.
And when you talked to the Badger football players, I mean, you talked to them about concussions and there was that gray area, the ringing their bell versus an actual concussion. Was CTE on their radar, this long-term risk of repeated, maybe not even concussion level, head injury?
It wasn't. I mean, all of them had a really vague understanding of what CTE is. That's just a very bad thing. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, they're in their early 20s. They're invincible. And I'd spoken with Jim Probstel, who played at Michigan State with his brother, and his brother passed a few years ago from CTE. And he said, you know, all of these players, I've been there. You all think you're going to make it to the NFL. You all think you're going to make it in that career. And that's what I found as well with talking to the players, that, you know, they all think they're going to the NFL. They all think they're invincible. So it's hard for them to kind of grapple the possible negative effects they're going to have from repeated head impacts.
So if they're not changing the players, is there talk of changing the game to try to reduce some of these impacts?
Yeah, and you've seen this over the years. They have a targeting rule now in college, which they do not have in the NFL, which some people are calling for the NFL to adopt it as well. And that's if, even if it's unintentional, if a defensive player hits the head, like if there's a head-to-head impact with an offensive player when they're tackling them, that's a targeting call. It's a 15-yard personal foul penalty, and that defensive player gets ejected from the game. So it's a very, you know, serious consequence for that penalty, which kind of drives it home with the players. And a lot of players sometimes get annoyed that there's this ejection, but that's kind of how you drive home this message that the league is trying to send.
But the CTE worry isn't even so much about tackling. It's the collision between offensive mm-hmm. linemen and defensive linemen that happens every single play.
Right, yeah. And when you talk, I talked to a defensive player, and you know, he said he gets his bell rung, you know, basically every play because that's the position he has. But for him, his bell rung, he meant more so of like just getting hit all the time. He didn't necessarily think it was a head impact every single time. But yeah, I mean, offensive linemen, defensive linemen, they're right up against each other head to head every single play going at it.
We'll leave it there for now. Luke, thanks a lot for sharing your reporting mm-hmm. with us. That's Luke Schetzel, freelance reporter. He contributed this piece to the Wisconsin Center for Investigative Journalism, talking about why many football players downplay the risks of head injuries despite growing research on concussions and CTE, the brain disease.